Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
B-Pod Studios.
Today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown.
Former Vixen frontwoman Janet Gardner joins me today on Talkin' Rock with Meltdown. We talk about lots of things, including her brand new record, which drops on August 7th, called Synergy. And of course, we talk about the virus, the pandemic, and how they were almost stuck in Australia.
We started to notice when we went to the stores. Of course, we noticed there was no toilet paper. A lot of people wearing masks. And we barely got home. I mean, literally, if we had been there two more days, we would have been stuck there.
This is the third record with her and her husband, Justin James. What's it like to work with your spouse?
For Justin's age, he's really emotionally mature, so he doesn't take things personally. If there's something that's not working, both of us are really willing to just put it away and move on.
Of course, we had to flash back and talk about some times with Vixen.
Some of it's kind of a blur because, seriously, we were just doing so much every day.
Planet Janet, Janet Gardner joins me today on Talkin' Rock.
This is Talkin' Rock.
Talkin' Rock.
Your backstage pass to some of your favorite rock artists. Here's your host, Meltdown.
Man, it seems like things are really cranking up these days. I've got a lot of interviews coming up, and I've done a lot recently. And here's another one for you. Janet Gardner today on the Talkin' Rock with a Meltdown podcast. By the way, I'll just tease this one I have coming up. It's actually the only artist I've ever picked up at the hotel to bring to the radio station for an interview in a 1967 hearse. That interview is coming up here in one of the next couple episodes, probably the next one before the end of the week or early next week. But I had a really good interview with that artist, which we'll tell you about more coming up here as that approaches. In the meantime, Janet Gardner is my guest today, and she's awesome. She's got this new record out called Synergy, which actually comes out on August 7th as I record this on August 5th? Yeah, well, a couple days. You get the picture. She put out some killer videos during the quarantine, including one called Lonely We Fight, which is awesome. We talk about that. What is it like to work with somebody in the same, you know, in the same profession? I don't have that luxury. A lot of people don't. I can't think of anybody where this both spouses work in the same place. I know it's got to be a little bit of a stress on people if they're going to their job for 8 hours a day, but when you do something like music where you can do it here and there and kind of shut it off and turn it back on, I suppose it's okay, but we talk about that and a lot more. In the meantime, if you like this podcast, 5-star ratings and reviews are always appreciated on the Apple and the iTunes. Share it on the Twitter, on the Facebook, and the whole thing. But first, let's get at it. It's Janet Gardner today on the Talkin' Rock with Meltdown podcast, as I gave her a call to her home, and we're off and running. Is this Planet Janet?
It is indeed. Is this Meltdown?
Hey, what's happening? How are you?
Things are good. You know, it's crazy times. You never know what you're going to wake up to these days, but, you know, keeping staying positive and trying to do the right thing.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I was thinking about this earlier today that I think that one of the last live shows I saw was yours. I think the last live show was Tom Kiefer, but I went and saw you at the Token here, and that was the end of January or something, but that was probably near the end of some of your shows too, I'd imagine, right?
Yeah, well, we actually went to Australia.
Oh, that's right.
We were there for 2 weeks. We had a great time. Everything was beautiful, and at the very end, we started to notice when we went to the stores, of course, we noticed there was no toilet paper.
Yeah.
A lot of people wearing masks. And we barely got home. I mean, literally, if we had been there two more days, we would have been stuck there. So we got really lucky. We squeezed in one great tour before it all went to, you know, down the tubes.
Now, I screwed up before we started talking. I thought you were living in the Southwest. So you were almost actually stuck in the Southwest.
There you go. The extreme Southwest.
Yeah, the extreme Southwest. Right, exactly. So, but anyway, so the new record drops, Synergy, coming out this coming Friday. And I was just watching the video for Lonely We Fight. That song, I got to be honest, I love that song. It's so great. I think the hook is awesome. And I see that, you know, you put together all the fans and different pictures and stuff. First of all, excuse me for my ignorance, but where did all those snapshots and those pictures come from?
We just put out a post. We put up a post on Facebook and just said, you know, during these crazy times, send us photos of whatever you're doing. If you're an essential worker, send us a photo of you at work or hanging out, trying to entertain your kids or whatever's going on in your life, send us a photo. And we were absolutely slammed with great photos. So we just put together a little slideshow, sort of, you know, we're all in this together, and it was great. We got a great response.
I saw one of them had my friend's the Killer Dwarfs hat on.
Yeah, that has to be Ed Lashua. He's a huge Killer Dwarfs fan. Without even looking, I know that's who it was. Yeah, great guy, great band.
Yeah, Russ and Dunk, there are friends of mine. Did you tour with them back in the day?
No, you know what? Weird thing, I've never even met them.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, I think we played with them at M3, but I've never run into them, but I think they're an amazing band. They're very, very cool.
So a real fast story. When I was a kid growing up, and I used to clean the bar that I worked at Monday and Tuesday mornings before going to school. So, of course, I had like MTV on or whatever, and I saw that video for Keep the Spirit Alive. Did you ever see that video?
I'm sure I have. I don't remember it at the moment.
All right. Well, it's the one where Russ, the singer, is like, he's in this box. They put him in a limo, and the limo hits a bump, and the box flies out of the back of the limo. And then it ends up landing on stage, and he's spinning on his head. Well, fast forward like 25 years later, I'm drinking in a bar with him singing Jackson Brown songs. So that's how we became friends. So
wow, that's awesome. I love stories like that.
Yeah, it's kind of...
I love their sense of humor, too, so... There's no time limit on that.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't want to go off on a Killer Dwarfs thing. We'll get back to your band here. Lonely We Fight, the video is, like I said, awesome. Wounded is out as well. And Lonely We Fight, obviously, let me ask you this. How much did the quarantine and the pandemic have effect on the writing of the material?
Well, quite a bit. We wrote two songs, one Talk to Myself, which is more the humorous side of just, you know, losing your mind and being stuck in the house. We were in the video, we're jumping on the bed and
right,
doing anything. The kids are going crazy. Everybody's like a bunch of loons. And then Lonely We Fight, of course, is the more serious, emotional part of it. So those two songs came specifically out of the quarantine. But the effect that it had in general was we really could focus and immerse ourselves in making this album because we couldn't do anything else. So we had the luxury of kind of 24/7 just running downstairs with ideas. So it came together faster than we had anticipated. But yeah, I mean, it had a huge effect on it. I don't know if we were out playing shows and kids were out running around, driving them all over the place, I don't know if we would have finished it this quickly.
Yeah, it's funny, because I've talked to dozens of artists in the last, three or four months, and some of them are like, man, nothing's really coming to me. It's kind of like just like, you know, I'm just like mentally just drained or whatever. And some are like, yeah, things are just flowing out of me. So was it one of those things where things were flowing out of you, or did you run downstairs to try to get things kickstarted, or how'd that work?
Oh, it was definitely flowing out of us. Yeah. Nothing was forced at all. It was just, you know, once you get on a creative roll, things just come to you. It's a weird thing how just you're laying there almost ready to go to sleep and something pops into your head. And it's like, if I fall asleep right now, by the time I wake up in the morning, it'll be gone.
Yeah.
So you sneak downstairs and just, you know, hum a little melody or play a quick guitar part or whatever it is that's in your head. So, yeah, it was flowing freely.
But I bet you can imagine some guys that are probably just like nothing was coming for them. I could imagine you've probably been there before yourself, right?
Oh, of course. You know, when it's not there, it's not there, and you can't force it out of you. It's a weird thing. If you're not inspired, you're not going to come up with anything good. Mm. So you may as well just do other things, you know, do a house project or whatever until something good comes to you.
Yeah, that video you made during quarantine was really entertaining, very fun. That was all at your house?
Yeah, couldn't go anywhere else. So yeah. We used the garage, the bedroom, the basement, the living room. Surprised we didn't do it. Oh, we did use the bathroom to wash our hands.
Right, exactly.
I think we used every room in the house.
Now, you know, you and Justin's relationship is unusual in the fact that I was thinking about this earlier. I don't know anybody in, like, my immediate friends, families, whatever, that's actually married to somebody who's in the same business. So talk about how that works.
Well, it worked out. It could have gone either way. It worked out great for us. We didn't plan on working together. I had Vixen. I was doing that. Justin had a bunch of different projects he was working on. And we were a little nervous, to be honest, to start doing it together. And we didn't plan it. Had we planned it, I think there would have been pressure. Because two things could happen. You could end up driving a big wedge between the two of you if it doesn't work. Or it brings you closer because, you know, you're sharing something that's really important to both of us. So luckily, it turned out that it just brought us closer, and we love working together. So, yeah, it's, like I said, could go either way. We're really fortunate that both of us, we have a really good workflow, and there's not a lot of, for Justin's age, he's really emotionally mature, so he doesn't take things personally. If there's something that's not working, both of us are really willing to just put it away and move on. No matter whose idea it is, if it's not working, it's not working. And if it is working, great. Doesn't matter. So, yeah, got lucky.
So
really lucky.
How do you guys start working with each other? I mean, were you guys, you know, this is your third record, right? So it's like, were you guys like was it just one of those things where one day you decided, well, hey, let's give this a shot after you were already married? Or was it before you got married? Or when do you start like saying, Hey, we really work well as a team?
Well, it happened after we got married.
Okay.
We've been married for probably half a year, maybe about 6 months. And it was a fluke. Justin was downstairs and he was just playing something. And I started hearing melodies and stuff. So I just went over there and said, what is that? And he said, I don't know, just something I'm playing around with. I said, record a quick version because I'm hearing some stuff. And from that point on, that was the song, If You Want Me. Off the first album. That was the first song we wrote together. And from there on, we couldn't stop. It was just ideas were flowing, and we were just working them out. And we never actually talked about anything like, what are we doing? What are we going to do with this? We just did it. And I think that really helped that we didn't put any pressure on ourselves. It was like, we're just enjoying this. Let's just keep doing it.
Yeah, it's funny because like sometimes I'll go home and I'll talk to my wife and I'll throw stuff around her that is work related that she really has no answer for, but I'm just kind of like saying it out loud just so somebody hears me. You know what I mean?
Sure.
She doesn't know. She doesn't know, but I'm not really looking for an answer. I'm just telling her. And I guess, you know, maybe you're in a different, I mean, you're obviously in a much different situation.
Well, yeah, but we can still do that. We still vent to each other, even though we're both involved in the same thing. We can still sort of separate it enough that if one of us is feeling a certain way about something that's going on with us, musically or business-wise, we can still separate ourselves enough to vent to each other without taking it personally. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, and it's...
You have to. You need that person to just sort of... vent.
Yeah, just to listen, if not even say anything. Yeah.
You're not necessarily looking for somebody to solve anything. And in fact, I think that would get on my nerves if both of us did that. You know what I mean? It's like, no, you can't fix everything. I just want you to hear me. And we do a lot of that. So it's still good, even though we're both involved in the same thing. We sort of allow each other to be that husband and wife role where you're just there for moral support.
Yeah, one of the things that my wife, like I said, is not in this business, and one of the things that that she's really good at, and she only does this very, very little, but she'll say, "Hey, I really like this song from such and such," and when she says it, I think it has more weight than when a record guy comes and tells me. You follow what I'm saying? Because she's like a listener, and she doesn't live in the business. So
right, she doesn't have a horse in the race. Her only inspiration for it is her heart and soul of like this, you know, this does something for me that I feel this, which, you know, that's what music is and what it's supposed to be. So it's not a business guy, you know, wanting to make a buck. Here, play this song because I'll make money.
Yeah. Yeah. So when people pick up this record on Friday, just give us an overall general synopsis of the record and what you think that people should take away from it.
Well, it's just life stories, you know. For us, it's like you try to stay positive. You got to keep fighting. You got to believe in yourself. It's all that kind of stuff, you know. And yeah, once in a while, you got to say F you to some people if they're toxic in your life. So it's all just kind of that kind of stuff. There's nothing really, there's no overall theme. There's, you know, a love ballad, and there's different things from life. But I think the general vibe of it is keep fighting, keep moving forward no matter what. Don't let anybody stop you.
Yeah, I see that you guys are pretty fired up, too, on your Facebook. You got your countdown days going and everything like that.
Yeah, we do. We're not really, like, overly active Facebook people. We're kind of private, so you know, for us to go, okay, we need a plan. We got to start getting people aware that we have this coming out. So we thought, well, let's do a countdown, and we'll do a different picture every day just kind of leading up to it.
It's funny you say that because I'm somewhat private too, which is a lot of the reason why I'm in radio, because it's so, like, kind of anonymous, even though it's not that much anymore, you know, nowadays as when I started back in the early 90s. But, you know, how do you draw that line between, you know, trying to let your fans in and trying to keep your privacy?
It's tough. It's a tough, you know, line to sort of walk. We want to connect with our fans, but I don't think it's necessary for them to know every little thing that happens in your life. And I don't find it very interesting too. We're not that exciting. So, you know, and I don't want to involve our kids a lot in it and stuff because, you know, I want them to have privacy too. They'll be rolling their eyes like, do you have to post that stupid picture of us? So, you know, we kind of just try to keep it to the music and then maybe some funny anecdotes and, God forbid, never get political, because it's just, you're never going to change anybody's mind on Facebook, on social media. So we try to stay away from that kind of stuff, too. But just kind of keep it light and let people know what we're doing.
Yeah, it's funny because I got two teenage kids, and whenever I post something on Facebook or Instagram, they just roll their eyes. And they think I'm like the biggest loser on the planet. You know how it goes. So.
I know. They're like, you guys are such nerds. You dork. Stop doing that. That's a stupid picture. So, and I get it. You know, it's not cool for them. So we reluctantly got them to participate in those two videos.
Okay.
They allowed us to post some pictures and a little bit of video of them, but they had to pick it. Oh, no, don't put that up. Oh, no, don't. No, I look terrible. No, don't post that. I look like a geek.
So what do you think social media would have been like had you been on social media back in the days of Vixen?
Oh, boy. I have no idea. I have no idea. Probably a circus, I'm sure.
Wow.
But the good thing is you can control what you put on your own social media. That's the good thing about it. You know, back then there was stuff floating around and we had really no way to like defend ourselves or to correct things that were incorrect. Whereas now you can instantly say, oh, that's not true. You know?
Right, yeah, back in the day, our social media was circus, like, you know, like you didn't mention circus, but yeah, circus, hit parader, metal edge, those kind of things. But, you know, you would probably do an interview and then read it like 3 or 4 weeks later and go, oh, no, or oh, yeah, I remember that, or whatever, right?
You're right. Inaccuracies, you just kind of had to live with it, you know? or make a big fuss and go, you have to correct that or do a retraction. And most things aren't really worth that. It's just like, well, that's not true, but it is what it is. Now you can kind of turn it around quickly and just go, well, I never said that or whatever, you know? So, yeah, times they are different.
Yeah. You know, one of my friends is a pretty big star in the music business. So sometimes stuff will come out and I'll say to him, I go, aren't you going to say anything? He's like, no, I'll just let it lay out there. It doesn't matter to me.
Right. You're right. You have to kind of let things roll off your back. You get used to small inaccuracies and people misquoting you and things like that. It's like, well, it's out there. If it's getting attention and it's not terribly negative towards you, let it go.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Now, I was watching, during this time of quarantine, I revisited some stuff, but I was watching a Decline of the Western Civilization. I got the same laugh when I told Chuck Buehler, who was the drummer in Megadeth at the time. I told him the same thing because I just did a thing with him a couple months ago. But man, that was it was fun to watch. It was like, I don't know, like a rainy April night or something like that. I'm watching that, and I had seen it before and stuff. But do you ever revisit some of that stuff?
I haven't seen that in quite some time, but yeah, people will post little snippets or whatever, and I'll look at it. And I get flooded with memories of that time because that was before our first Vixen album even ever came out. We were just like a local LA kicking around band at the time. And I look at how young we were and how, you know, naive we were. But it was good times. It brings back really fond memories for me of just the excitement and, you know, everything that was going on out there at the time. And it was overblown, and it was quite hilarious, that movie. But, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, I watched the first one, too, the punk one, and it didn't really resonate with me as much as that one did because I think I lived in the other world. Even though I grew up in Buffalo, far away from where that documentary took place. I'm talking to Don Dokken coming up here in a little while. Did you ever cross paths with Don?
Of course, yeah. It was kind of after, it was in the 90s, I think, and he and his band used to ride motorcycles and stuff, and I went out with them a few times, so I got to know Don a little bit.
Yeah.
That guy was super talented. What a voice. One of my favorite voices from back in the day. He had that power, but still a little bit of vulnerability in his voice. Awesome.
Yeah, and you know, your time in Vixen back in the late 80s and early 90s, looking back on it, it went by pretty quick, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, some of it's kind of a blur. Because, seriously, we were just doing so much every day, either on the road, busy all day, doing in-store appearances and radio and things like that, all kinds of press. We'd do phoners from the hotel. We'd do interviews at the hotel. We would go to radio stations, go to record stores, go to sound check, eat some food, play a show, and get on the bus and go to the next place.
And do it all over again.
We did about 200 dates a year for a while there. So it was pretty crazy. And even when we got home for like a week or two, we had so much to do while we were home that it was just a blur. Yeah, it went by really fast, but a lot of killer memories.
I don't know how old your kids are, but do you ever show them pictures or videos or stuff from back in the day?
Sure, they see stuff. I mean, I don't really force them to because they get bored out of their mind or go roll their eyes. But, yeah, they've seen, of course, all the videos and quite a bit of that stuff. And once in a while, my son, he's 17, and he's a total metalhead. And once in a while, Vixen will pop up in some poll of, like, favorite glam bands or something like that. And he'll come show me. He'll, like, look, you guys are there. So I think secretly he thinks it's kind of cool, but on the outside, it's not. It's not cool at all. He's embarrassed.
It's hysterical how much our lives are kind of similar, because my kids think I'm the biggest, like I said, the biggest idiot on the planet. And then their buddies will be like, your dad is Meltdown. And then they're all excited, you know.
Right. How cool is that?
Yeah. My son's 17 as well. And I'm like, yeah, dude, listen, while your buddies' dads are going off to work in their cubicles and their suits, I go talk to rock stars and play rock and roll on the radio. So that's what happens, you know. You got to put a bag in her face sometime. All right, last question here for you, Janet. We'll cut you loose here. Any thoughts about music from today? Any thoughts about today's music scene?
Well, you know, there's always bands out there making good music. I just think it's a weird time for bands to try and get noticed, because there's so much out there. There's so much noise that it's hard to make your mark in between it all. And, you know, there's all the Spotify stuff, and there's like a gazillion bands on there, and who gets on the playlist. And it's a weird time, but there's great bands always out there making great music. You just have to look for it.
So Synergy drops this coming Friday, August 7th, as we record this, and your third record with Justin, and good luck. And maybe somewhere, if we're lucky down the road, we'll see you again live in concert.
Yes. We're fingers crossed that'll happen sooner rather than later.
All right, Jen. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Meltdown. It's a pleasure as always.
Janet Gardner today in the Talking Rock with Meltdown podcast. Like I said, Synergy coming out August 7th. Snag that one. And yeah, Wounded is up on the internet. You can check that out. But Lonely We Fight is really one that I think is a really well done, very good stuff from Janet and Justin James. Like I said before, I've got some interviews already in the works. If you don't subscribe to the podcast, maybe you should do so. Just talked to John Anderson from Yes yesterday. Talked with Roger Glover from Deep Purple last week. Who else had I talked to so many, sometimes I can't even remember who I talked to, but some of them, Rick Emmett last week as well from Triumph. Listen, I'll admit I did drink a whole bottle of Jack Daniels over the weekend, and some of the Metallica Black and Whiskey, by the way, which is very tasty. Oh, I talked to Rob Dietrich, the master distiller from Metallica's Black and Whiskey several months ago. Go back in and listen to that, as he's got some great stories as well. In the meantime, 5-star ratings, reviews, Apple, iTunes, the whole thing. Share it with your friends. And just a big, hearty thank you for listening to Talkin' Rock.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.